Joel in Chicago.
Hi, Joel.
Joel in Chicago. I heard you. I'm not even listening to my phone. You're so close. Erlen, I think you're going to have to take over. My phone is breaking up with everybody on the line.
Okay. Welcome to Wednesday's call. Please say your name and location when you get a chance.
Dan,
hello.
John from Aspen, Colorado.
Hi, Don. And there was someone else in there?
Dan from Tennessee, from Arkansas.
Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Is that Terry?
No, this is Marilyn in Michigan and Oxford. Kind of pinch hitting for height.
That was the next question, ma'am.
Dave and I are trying to duo the routine. It takes two people to replace height, you know.
It does indeed.
The natural ceremony.
Yeah. Are we on the air now? Are we on the air, Doug?
Terry, are you on, Terry?
Oh, Wynn, thank you. Can you take over?
No, I'm not taking over.
She's just going to sit back and laugh.
I know.
What? I've just taken over before.
I know. He's so good, isn't he?
That was a good
call. Welcome
to
Wednesday's healing call. Please say your name and location when you get a chance. If you haven't done so already.
Lisa from San Francisco.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Thank you.
I have Steve and Bettina in Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve and Bettina.
Steve, I've been thinking about you.
Getting interesting now.
Now.
You must not have heard you win.
Can you hear me? Am I on?
Yeah,
on
I can too? Hear you.
My voice is okay?
Yep. Good.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's mute everybody. Anyone have anybody have anything really profound to say before we get muted?
That's up to you. You
were in that.
Muted.
All right. And that's new people coming in, and we gotta mute them. Let's see. Start. Hey. All right.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 5th, 2012, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and we are broadcasting live on the internet all over the world and locally on a conference call line. And this is the call where people submit us questions. Let's see if there's any good questions that came in. Let's see here. Cut. Animals on other planets. All right. Hang on a second. People hearing high frequencies in their ears. Those are the late notifications. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
And you're not ready, correct?
No, I'm never ready.
Just checking.
I think they're ready, though.
They're ready? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, in case you happen to be listening to our call for the first time, my name is Wynn Free, and I think in 1999, I had a very close introduction to what I call interdimensional communication, beings in other realms that are have something to say to us and something to contribute to us. And it started out with David Wilcock in writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And the book has been out for quite some time, and it's still getting awesome reviews on Amazon, okay? Here we go. Just November 29th. I think this was a fellow by the name of Terrence. If you're listening, Terrence, thank you for the review. This is a substantial work, more like a trilogy than a single title. And actually, it's three parts. Part one, you guys know what it is. Part two, the next section is more meaty. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. These are full-text transcriptions from the inner source that Wilcock calls Ra. His Ra is nowhere near as oblique and cryptic as the early Ra presented in The Law of One from LL Research. Wilcock studied the Ra material diligently and would often stare at a single page for half an hour, trying to penetrate the meaning. In the second part, we find a diverse collection of well-chosen texts, chapters, each devoted to an extended reading. And then,
could you read that again? You blanked out.
In the second part of the book, in the second part of, wait a second, too late. Wait a second.
That's where it started, when you said in the second part.
I blanked out. The next section is more meaty. The proof of the pudding is in the tasting. These are full-text transcriptions from Wilcock's inner source, which he calls Ra. His Ra is nowhere near as oblique and cryptic as the early Ra presented in The Law of One from LL Research. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah? And then there was another good one. This one I kind of like. Wait a second here. This presentation by Winfrey just feels so right. It's either a divine revelation or a preposterous, though entertaining, product of a wild and daring imagination. Terry, which is it? I'm just saying, if you're paying attention.
Of going into transfer.
Never mind. All right. We'll forget all of that. We'll go into the reading part, okay? In any case, if you're listening for the first time, this is an introduction to sources that say they're group souls in other dimensions, that say they are a helper and a guide for the evolution of this planet and humans. And I tell people, you can't believe that until you personally experience it. So we have three conference calls a week. We have an archive section. And if they are who they say they are, this is kind of an epic event, except you have to decide. You have to develop the resonance. It doesn't help it for me to say it or anyone else. We just put out all this stuff for free so you can decide. So you have enough stuff to evaluate it with. And on our Wednesday call, people submit questions, and we ask their questions live on the call. And Terry is a, I don't like to use the word channel, even though that's what some people would say. Terry is a transmutation station in a physical body that is able to hear their words and put them into the English language. And we ask them questions, and you can listen live. And I don't always say this, but I should, and that is, channeling, this idea of bringing through messages from higher realms, particularly this high, is somewhat of an imprecise science or exercise, because there's possibility for Terry's own mind to bleed through. There's even the possibility that a negative source can come in and say something to derail us. Now, I don't believe that has happened very much in our work, but that's why it's so important for you to use your own scrutiny. And the purpose of all this is not to make you a follower, even if they are who they say they are. It's to empower you. It's for you to have a direct experience of your place in the universe, and that you actually are the center of the universe where you are. Well, most of you don't experience that. Well, now we're talking to a source that says they created the universe, and have the opportunity to ask them questions. And it is never the information, I won't say never, but even though we get a lot of wisdom and great answers, it is not the stimulation of your mental body that is the most important thing. Because while you're on this line, they say they're observing you. They say they are connecting with you, if you would like that experience. And many people have experienced an expansion of how they feel while they're listening on this call. And it's very subtle. Not always subtle. It's an individual thing. So for some people, it's not subtle. But pay attention carefully to the energy around you during the call. Pay attention to shifts in your body. Remind yourself when you came into the call how you were feeling and how you feel when the call ends. And just be a good observer and see if you can find this frequency that they say is them, which they use this call as an excuse to make contact with you, if you're open to that. And on that note, we have a little, it's not a ritual, a little calling in of the light. And that kind of helps us bring the energies together and set the mood and the safety for them to come into the space. Father, Mother, God, we ask right now for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone listening, regardless of location and regardless of time, and that any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present to give an introduction to this session.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator, this 5th of December, 2012. And we are connecting with the space of each and every person who wishes to be connected with, who is on the call. We do not come through the radio. We do not come through the computer. We do not come through the telephone line. We are non-linear present in the space. And we are connected with Terry, who is bringing through the messages. Ra'an is the name that we have given ourselves, which is a combination of entities, individuals from the Ra group and from the Elohim group. And we have the translation section of the Elohim group, which helps to provide the call in English since we do not speak English. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Our first question is from Ron in Mexico. And he has a question about what's commonly known as the higher self and how to communicate and receive guidance from our higher self. Given that that's a term used in many spiritual groups as a way of explaining something, before I ask Ron's question, could you explain to us, from your point of view, what a higher self is?
The higher self of each individual, and each individual has a higher self. Each soul has a series of frequencies wherein they are guided, they get guidance, they are, it is the highest and the best of each individual, and it can be drawn upon to give guidance. An individual is a composite being, and in other religions, such as the Hawaiian religion, Kona, there are references to the lower self, and the higher self is of the higher frequencies and provides guidance for the lower self. If the lower self can open itself up to be connected to the higher self being, can listen to the wisdom with which the higher self can guide one.
When you're communicating through Terry, are you communicating through her higher self?
We are. It is her higher self and her lower self. Her whole self is connected with us. We act like a docking area around her crown of her head, and we stabilize ourselves with her at that point. And it is all of Terry that is resonating with our energies.
If one was to ask, what is the difference between, of course, these are earth definitions for things, but using earth definitions, what is the connection between the higher self and what's called the soul?
The soul and the higher self are resonating. The higher self is the being that is the guiding force for DNT, it for the soul, the higher self and the soul are synonymous with the description of the individual guidance unit of the being.
When an individual is making connection to higher frequencies, oftentimes you describe yourself as a frequency that we can pick up. Is the higher self the first entry point for those frequencies, and then it gets transmuted in a way that a person can feel them or can speak with your projections?
No. We are resonating with the whole of the individual, the higher self, the lower self. We are resonating with the whole, and it is the whole that picks us up.
So the terminology of higher self and soul are kind of limited in a certain way as perhaps part of the whole. Yes?
It is a guiding part of the whole if the lower self opens it up to resonate with the whole.
Now, in what density is the what's called the higher self? Would that be different for every person?
It is in the highest within. It is above the astral. It is connected in a point we are getting out of locations when we describe where it is, as it is not so much in a location as it is the generator of a location.
And does every human being have the potential to connect with their higher self?
Give us a moment. The majority do have the connection capability.
Thank you. So now I'm going to ask Ron's questions here. Is it useful to visualize having a higher self when meditating and looking inward for guidance?
We see that this is, which is a question that predisposes that the person is centered in their lower self. If this is the case, the answer is they can visualize this. If a person is acting as Terry is acting, the higher self is a guiding factor, and it is not necessary to visualize this is she is being her higher self, and the lower self is being the higher self. When you speak of visualizing the higher self, this perhaps is the more general condition of most of us beings. And the answer is yes, it helps to visualize. However, when one can get to the state of everything acting in harmony, the lower self and the higher self is all one, and it is not needed that one visualize it because one is being it.
Thank you. If one is learning to be their higher self, how would they feel once they accomplish that?
They would lose much of the conflict within themselves, and the whole would be working in tandem towards the path, the good of the individual. There would not be duality per se, where one would polarize one direction and then polarize in another direction. There would be a general centering of the individual in the life.
Thank you. And Ron's second question, can you give us insight on how our higher self interacts with angels, guides, source, and our corporal awareness to guide us to act for the highest good?
Some of this question was answered in the last answer. Is the individual would be working harmoniously within all aspects of their life,
thank you. Next question is from Robert Siefkin, and his question, now I'm not sure the backup of this question. I'm just going to, we know that when we've talked to the Elohim, they have said that they communicate using mathematics. They think in terms of mathematics. They look at the universe as a mathematical construct. And the way everything interacts relates to mathematics, which some people refer to as sacred geometry. So Robert's question is, do angels really communicate with people using numbers?
Angels are from the angelic realm, are more in tune with vibration and frequency and receive that as communication rather than communicating in words. They're able to interpret a person's feelings with them, between them and the person, and really sense the communication, not in terms of words, but in terms of essence, derived from the total output of the individual, which has more information than merely emotion. It has tone and frequency and soul communication. It is not dependent upon merely words.
This is a question from Cindy Izzo, and I'm going to leave the particular names. She asks about something, and I actually think it's an important question, but I don't want to identify who she's asking about or the particular project. I don't want to publicly take anyone else's inventory, but I want to ask the question in a general way. And the question has to do with, there are certain people who are dedicated to disclosing facts about UFOs, extraterrestrial intelligence, classified advanced energy and propulsion systems, and sometimes connecting with Orion. And because they believe the technological info comes from that group. And that I have said that we have learned, it's in the Carla Ruckert material, the Orion group is generally service to self-oriented. And if somebody is holding a conference or a meeting that has this as its banner, to bring this information available, this potential advances in technology available that come from extraterrestrial groups, would it be, if one is on a spiritual path, would it be positive to attend this kind of conference, or might you pick up energies there that could throw you off?
If one is attending a UFO conference, this is a lower level of the third and fourth and fifth density nature that one would find out about, and it could help expand the knowledge of what is out there within the lower densities. It would not be necessarily spiritual, but it could help to expand a person's awareness, and they indeed might pick up some negative orientations depending upon the nature of the material presented at the conference.
Somebody was listening to Coast to Coast, and right now there are many people complaining or commenting about hearing high-frequency harmonics in their ears, to which I seem to be one of those who have heard those harmonic frequencies constantly in my ears for 8 months. And this is from Joe Renaud in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. They never go away, and they are not ringing the ringing in one's ears that most people will hear every now and then. The common ringing in your ear type doesn't last for more than a few seconds to a few minutes. The others are constantly there. So could you explain what these tones are?
Thank you. Ringing in the ears can stem from a number of causes. One of them would be the ringing of the earth, as the earth is moving to change its orientation in, say, a localized area. These are generally heard within the ears as a duration of a few seconds, and the tones are connected with the location of on the earth plane, wherein the earth is shifting its harmonics. Dolphins can pick up these sounds very easily. Another cause of ringing in the ears is a misalignment within ears, in the inner workings of the ear that is can be connected with misalignment within the kidney area, and is needed to clear the kidneys to help the body to help the ear clear the area that is misaligned, which is creating ringing. This is generally called tinnitus. Give us a moment. There are other causes of ringing and vibration in the ears, which can be hearing the hum of the earth, which is not a misalignment, but is an electrical phenomena that sometimes an individual can pick up and hear. It is of an electrical nature, and it is a hum that continues and goes on. And we would suggest that you observe and see if this is the type of a hum that you are hearing that goes on and is the natural humming of the earth. It is a frequency which some people can hear, and the majority of people cannot, even though it is going on in everyone's vicinity. That is our answer.
Thank you. This is from Wilbert. Wilbert S. in Brooklyn, New York. And he asks this, but I'll ask his question as a general question. because I think it might relate to many people. And the question is, can someone have negative energies around them which come from not within their own consciousness, but are projected from somewhere else? Can someone have negative energies around them which block them from fully realizing their higher connections?
The answer is yes, that they can. If there is an overpowering energy being focused in the area, there's an overpowering consensus, vocal consensus, that they are living in, much like a fog around their area. We only see the word fog as an analogy, that there may be a pollution of the thought forms. For instance, if an individual would live in an area where the people surrounding him were looking in their life to things like lower-level things like drugs and gang activity, even though it may be a few miles away, it may be distorting the clearness of the individual, and the individual may be having trouble breaking through. Also with the chemtrails and some of the chemicals put into the atmosphere, it tends to block the energies of individuals from free range search and connection, wherein if an individual was not so blocked, they would not be limited in the frequencies that they could search and connect, much like a radio is limited in frequency that it can connect to. Some individuals are limited by their surroundings, the thoughts of their neighbors, and the chemical composition of the things in the atmosphere around them.
And we could also include people that project curses on people. Could we include projections from ETs that could have that impact, those two things?
It is a specialized thing to include the projections of ETs, where the ET would need to be really focused upon the individual.
But it is possible.
Yes, it is possible, and that someone also is placed, if someone is placing the curse on someone else, it can limit the person's ability to make all the connections that person needs to make to have a full and adequate life. For instance, if the curse was that the person would develop trouble walking, they may, if not realizing that this is not their own making, they may fall subject to it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. David Ferringer from Grove City, Pennsylvania, has a question about THC. THC is a very concentrated derivative of marijuana, and it's the active ingredient in marijuana that causes a psychedelic effect. And the question is, does the effect of THC in the brain put a person into a better connection with their higher self?
Give us a moment. We do not wish to promote drugs. However, give us a moment. This is a very specific question. What this can do, it is possible that it could lower the volume of interference from one's lower self and can help increase the connection with the higher self. This is one of the reasons that an individual can be addicted to substances, in that it dulls the senses, and the connection of some of the lower self, where the lower self has become out of harmonic resonance with the rest of the self. This is not a long-term answer.
I should add to the question that when one is using a substance like this, could it also open them up to the entry of a negative influence into their psychic space?
It is very possible that they may then open up to the entry of other beings to take over their space and to make things much worse.
And that's true with, maybe I should ask the question, there's a lot of other substances besides THC, LSD, alcohol, ecstasy, many of the drugs that people use for some kind of elevated experience. Does the answer work for all of those substances as well? Alcohol, LSD?
You cannot make this connection. These are very different substances working in very different ways. And open an individual up to potential disaster, and we give one such example of a young man who took a potent chemical cocktail one afternoon on a Sunday and left his body and became so scared he did not know how to proceed, and the body died, and the individual remained in a frozen state of paralysis, not knowing how to proceed until he had help from outside that could reorient him to his situation.
Thank you. Do you guys notice that the questions today are all like a theme? Everyone's thinking about similar stuff. It's interesting. Here's another one. For many years, this is from Dan in Tennessee. For many years, I've been aware of the veil separating this density from others and can almost touch it. In unguarded moments, I feel as if I penetrate the veil only to pull back like someone jerking their hand away from the heat. This is accompanied by a brief sense of fear. My question is, am I actually touching another density? And if so, what is causing this fear? I don't sense anything negative on the other side of this veil. Thank you. Dan.
Thank you. Training is needed to penetrate the veil and to operate through the veil and to still maintain your own sovereignty and your own center. There is fear of loss of control that one, when they move through the veil, would be operating with different skills, different ways than one operates with the body. And it is a giant unknown for one that is not used to transcending the veil and how to operate on the other side. We suggest getting more information before attempting to go clear completely to the other side of the veil.
Thank you. Where would you find that information?
There are little snippets of information. One of them is to there is a philosopher. One of them is to read about the subject we suggest. Some of the work of Swedenborg, we suggest another philosopher. Give us a moment. One of the things that you can do is to research the subject on the internet, to find all manner of information, sorting out that which resonates with you and eliminating anything that does not resonate with you.
Thank you. Next question is from Gary Brownlee in Redondo Beach, And his question has to do with December 21st. And many, many people are saying what's going to happen. We have asked this kind of question before, but as we move closer to December 21st, I think it's good to ask it again. And Gary's question is, there's a concept that on December 22nd, this will be the first day of the birth of a new level of humanity and its evolution. Would our sources comment on that comment?
There is some truth to that, based upon the fact that we, as we include ourselves, as we are in the third density as we speak, this third density moves into higher frequency, and as such, it changes the nature and resonates the manifest well. And this resonance then at a greater, higher frequency than before affects all that is and shakes loose many of the stucknesses that a person and people have been holding in place to make them more spontaneous, and also since the individuals have some knowledge of some of the things that are not consistent within their life, it brings them these inconsistencies into focus and forces the person to either deal with them or act them out. And it forces them to confront these things so that they can, in many cases, be done with them and can move into a higher resonance that will be surrounding everyone.
Now, is this happening right now already? Has it been happening as we approach that? Or is there going to be some dramatic turnaround on those dates?
It has been happening as we increase in frequency as day by day goes by, but it is past on the 22nd and 23rd, it is past a certain limit so that there is a more smoothness in the frequency, as when the frequencies increase, some of the frequencies are more harsher and it smooths out after the 21st.
Now, there's been other people that say that there is going to be a division on this planet of those people that are tuning in to the higher frequencies and those who are not. And they will kind of separate themselves, because Gary's question talked about the birth of a new level of humanity. Would it be more accurate to say a new level of potential for each person?
The ones that ride through and are able to deal with it will move into a new understanding. The ones that cannot negotiate it will drop out, and there already have been individuals dropping out in there have been increase in suicides, and there has been an increase in people being admitted to insane asylums. As people struggle to find a way to deal with this.
Thank you. You know what? We've come to the end of our call. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Terry. Thank all of you who are on the line and supporting, holding the space for the energy that this can be brought through. And we'll see many of you again on Sunday. And I hope, I don't know if we're still on the air. We're a minute over. So if you've lost us, you won't hear me. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Unmuted.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah.
We love you.
Bye.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks, Quinn.
You're welcome. Love to everybody.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Terry. Good night, Quinn.
Good night.
Good night, Quinn.